Good morning. The Lord is good to us every day, isn't He? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, the Apostle Paul wrote, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." Now, Paul was not specifically speaking about Christmas when he said this, but Christmas season is indeed a wonderful time for us to rejoice in the Lord, in the good news of Jesus. And Paul commands the church in Philippi, and he commands us to rejoice. Now, this tells us something that some people miss, and that is that joy is a choice that we make. We can choose joy in our lives. Now, it's not always an easy choice. We have many struggles and problems around us, but we can choose to rejoice in the Lord regardless of what problems we are confronted with. The Philippians would have good reason to believe that Paul's command was more than just words that he was sharing with them, because they had seen his example when he was in their town and he and Silas were thrown in jail for helping a young girl, for releasing her from an unclean spirit. They were thrown in jail. Now, I wonder what our attitude would be if we were in jail for helping someone. That's basically what they were in jail for, was helping this young girl. What would our attitude be there in the jail, chained up, waiting to see what is going to happen next? Well, I don't know whether we, sitting in chains, would choose to rejoice or not. But the choice that Paul and Silas made is very evident in the Scriptures. Acts chapter 16, verse 25 tells us, "About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them." They've been arrested and thrown in jail. And what are they doing? They're rejoicing before the Lord in the wonders of His salvation, regardless of the circumstance they found themselves in there. Even in the jail, they're rejoicing, and their joy made the jail such a blessed place that even when an earthquake opened the doors and broke their chains, nobody left. Can you imagine that? The prisoners in the jail? Nobody left when the jailhouse was broken open by an earthquake. And this resulted in the salvation of the jailer and his family, and probably many others as well. Now, we face serious problems in life sometimes, and we're not always happy about that. It would be unrealistic to be happy about all of our problems, but our happiness is related to our immediate circumstances. But joy is different than happiness. Joy is deeper. It comes from thanksgiving and appreciation for what God has done for us. We can have joy in our heart, even when we struggle with various problems. I doubt that Paul and Silas were happy to be in jail. But even in jail, they rejoiced in the Lord and sang His praises, the wonders of His grace. We have a cartoonist here. He portrayed Paul and Silas like this. Here's Silas. Silas says, "Hey, Paul, do you know any good songs?" And Paul says, "How about I will lift up my hands unto the Lord?" Might as well, his hands are chained up anyway. He might as well sing, "I'll lift up my hands unto the Lord." You know, a sense of humor can also help us to get through some tough times. But joy is more than a sense of humor. It's deep. It flows up from the center of our being. And joy in the Scriptures, in the Bible, is consistently portrayed as a choice that we make. We can choose to remember what God has done for us and to rejoice in that, even in difficult circumstances. Back in the book of Nehemiah in chapter 8, Ezra the priest was reading out the law of Moses to the people, and they began to weep as they realized once again that they were sinners because they had not obeyed the law. But when the people began to weep, they were told, Nehemiah 8:10, Nehemiah said, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is sacred to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Amen. The joy of the Lord is our strength. When we rejoice in the Lord, we are strong in our faith. And we are ready to deal with whatever life has for us. We can choose joy rather than sorrow, even in difficult times. And when we choose to live in the joy of the Lord, we are ready to overcome the problems of this life by our strong faith. Now, many heroes of faith in the Bible make the choice to rejoice in the Lord regardless of their circumstances. The prophet Habakkuk, in Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, there's a remarkable statement. It's kind of based on farm life, but we can imagine the same thing for our city situation. We read, "Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior." He makes the choice. He chooses joy, regardless of circumstances. The choice for joy depends on our heart and our trust in the Lord. He is good. Everything that comes into our life comes out of His love and His care, even when we don't understand, even when we're struggling. If we love the Lord, we can rejoice regardless of circumstances or problems, knowing that even our trials, even the difficulties we face, are helping us to draw near to the Lord. And this is a good thing. It is good reason for joy if our trials and struggles bring us closer to God. James, in his letter, put it this way. James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3 says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance." And he goes on from there. Consider it pure joy when life is difficult and tough and things are hard and don't go right. Count it as joy, knowing that God is still doing His work through these things to draw us close to Him. The choice for joy is not always easy, but we need to learn the secret of how to choose joy in our lives. Thanks be to God, His scriptures are full of solid teaching that show us how to choose joy in all circumstances. John chapter 16, verses 20 to 24. John writes, he says, he's quoting the words of Jesus here, "I tell you the truth. You will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. So with you, now is your time of grief, but I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. In that day, you will no longer ask me anything. I tell you the truth, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete." And your joy will be complete. Isn't that wonderful? As we pray and draw near to the Lord in prayer, our joy becomes complete in our relationship with Him. Verse 20 said, I tell you the truth, you will weep and mourn. Oh, that doesn't sound so good. Weeping and mourning. While the world rejoices, the people who have no faith, who've rejected God, rejoice. And you will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. Now, I think Jesus is speaking specifically here about his crucifixion when those who had wanted to get rid of Jesus are rejoicing, the people of the world, and yet the disciples are weeping and grieving. And yet their grief is turned to joy when Jesus rises from the grave to new life. And he comes forth alive on that third morning. I think that's the specific thing Jesus is speaking about, and yet these words apply to so many situations of our life where we experience hardship, we experience grief or sorrow, and yet God turns it into joy in the morning. It is easier to choose joy in our daily life when we remember that all of our troubles are temporary inconveniences. Temporary inconveniences that will soon be gone in the internal light and love of Christ as we go home to Him for all eternity, rejoicing together at the big party in heaven. You like parties? Do you know God likes parties too? He's always talking about parties in the scripture. If you pay attention, you notice it after a while. Do you face pain or trouble in your life? The Lord uses these things also to bring life and restoration. And Jesus compared the sorrow the disciples would face when he was crucified to the pains of childbirth. And then he compared the joy of the resurrection to the joy of new life when a baby was born. John 16, verses 21 and 22. We read it a moment ago, but I want to read it again. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish of her joy. She forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. So with you, now is your time of grief, but I will see you again and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. The risen Christ brings lasting joy that no one can take away from us. When we have relationship with Jesus, alive forevermore, risen from the grave, our joy overflows in his presence. You know, when a mother holds her little baby, I have a photo here. Isn't that a great photo? I like that. That's such a great photo. When a mother holds her little boy, she feels that deep joy in that new life. And the disciples, they felt joy in the presence of Jesus after he rose from the dead. But actually, this analogy of a mother giving birth and then having that joy is actually even easier to understand when we think of, if I may say this, as Jesus being more like the mother. He has new life in his resurrection. And yet it's Jesus who suffered and died on the cross. He's the one who went through all of that pain to bring forth something new. And when Jesus met the disciples again, they rejoiced to see him alive. And yet I think he had much greater and much deeper joy in knowing that he had completed the work that brought eternal life to his disciples and to all who love him. Christ brings forth that eternal life through his work on the cross and his resurrection because of his great love for us, each and every one of us. He brings forth that new life after his suffering, after his trouble on the cross. He brings it out and he offers it to each of us as a free gift of life. When the children are joyful, how many people have kids? You have kids, children? Yeah. Maybe they're growing now, some of us. But when the kids are happy, the parents are happy. generally speaking. When the children are rejoicing, it brings joy to the heart of the parents. Did you know when we rejoice, it brings joy to the heart of God, our Heavenly Father? When we rejoice in His love, He also rejoices in us, in every son and daughter adopted into His kingdom through faith in Jesus Christ. He loves each of His children so much, and He rejoices when we rejoice and give thanks to Him. It makes Him so happy. The Lord has always delighted in His people. Have you ever read the book of Zephaniah? Zephaniah? Sound familiar? Back there somewhere in the Old Testament? Give it a read sometime. Chapter 3, verse 17 is absolutely wonderful. It says, "The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with His love. He will rejoice over you with singing." When you think about God, how do you imagine it? How do you imagine God's face? I think too many times Christians even, and especially people outside the church, but even Christians, we imagine God as some sort of grumpy old man who's looking to see what we're doing wrong. Change your image. Take a look at this verse. God is singing in His joy over His children, over those who've come to Him. He'll take great delight in you. He'll quiet you, comfort you with His love, even like a mother comforts a little baby. You ever imagine God singing? You ever think of that? I want to hear God's voice. I bet He has a great singing voice. I bet He's never off key like me. I imagine Jesus singing with the disciples. Overflowing joy. God rejoices in His children. And when we draw near to Him, we share in that joy as He delights in us, and we learn to have joy in Him. In that close relationship as we draw near to God. And in the scriptures it talks about this in many places, and it uses different ways to describe it. But the common theme is always drawing near to God and finding joy in our relationship with Him. And one of the best ways to do that is in prayer. That's why Jesus is urging His disciples to pray in His name here. He says, "Until now you've not asked for anything in My name. Ask and you will receive. Your joy will be complete." Wow, complete joy. That sounds good. I want that. How do we get it? We draw near to Him. We speak with Him and talk with Him. And as we learn to pray prayers that bring joy to His heart, He delights in giving us the things we're asking for as we pray according to His will and for His kingdom. Talked about a minute ago, few things bring as much joy as new life. The mother holding her baby in her arms rejoices. The disciples rejoice to see the risen Lord. The Lord rejoices whenever a lost sinner comes back to Him and receives forgiveness and the gift of eternal life. We'll get there in the spring maybe, but Luke chapter 15. Jesus tells a series of parables about this very thing. There's several of them. We'll look at just one for a moment here. He talks about these things, the parables, everyday illustrations to teach spiritual truths, to teach us here about the joy that God has in His people. Luke chapter 15, verses 4 through 7, the story, parable of the lost sheep. "Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep.' And Jesus says, 'I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Wow. Rejoicing in heaven. A shepherd goes out to search for a lost sheep and he finds it and he rejoices. Then he calls all of his friends and neighbors to come and rejoice with him. In other words, he throws a party. I told you, God likes parties. He throws them all the time. You get to the end of this parable, we realize the parable is talking about the Lord is the good shepherd and he's coming out and he's searching for us, lost sheep. And he brings us back, and each time a lost sheep is found and repents of sin and turns back to God, there is rejoicing. There is a party in heaven. You ever think about that? You ever imagine all those angels dancing with Moses and Abraham and Elijah and the apostles all dancing together with King David? A party. Because God takes joy in his children and in his relationship with us. And we can learn to take joy in our relationship with him every day. Jesus goes on to make sure they get the point in Luke chapter 15. He tells the parable of the lost coin and the same sort of story. And he talks the parable of the prodigal son all in that same place. Repeating it so that people will get what he's talking about. Sadly, though, as he also shows in the parable of the prodigal son, some people just don't want to join in the party. When the prodigal son returned home, the father rejoiced and said, "Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. Let's have a party." But there was one person who didn't want to go into the party. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. Now, at Messiah Lutheran Church in Montana in the USA, they did a skit here with the children. And you can see the children in there, and they're having the party. The prodigal son has come home, and standing outside here, really tall, standing outside here, I guess, is the elder brother. And he hears the dancing and the singing, but he doesn't want to go in. You see, he could have chosen joy. He could have chosen to go in and rejoice that his younger brother was safe and home again. But instead, he felt jealousy. He felt anger that his little brother was getting all of this attention. And so he says, "I don't want to have joy. I want to sit out here and be angry and bitter and frustrated." But the father came out and coaxed him. And I think in the end, maybe he went in. The scripture doesn't tell us exactly, because the father goes out to speak to him. The Lord wants us to make the choice of joy, to make the choice of faith, of trusting in Jesus Christ, of turning our lives over to him, and then making the choice to rejoice in the salvation he has given us and the love and the mercy and grace that he pours out on us. To rejoice in his relationship with him is a wonderful expression of faith. Because when we rejoice in God, regardless of our circumstances, it reveals how much we trust him and love him. When even one person repents of their sin and turns to him, there's rejoicing in heaven. And that joy overflows to God's friends and neighbors because he brings us in and it fills our heart as well. 1 John chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. John said, "We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard so that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete." Before it was making Jesus saying to make your joy complete. But now, having entered into that joy, John writes to make our joy complete, saying, "Come and rejoice with us, for we are rejoicing in the presence of God, in our fellowship with him, in our fellowship with one another as brothers and sisters. We're rejoicing. Come and rejoice with us." This Christmas season, I pray that each and every one of us would choose joy, that we would rejoice in God's presence and His love and His grace in our relationship with one another. I pray that there would be no one who would want to stand outside and be bitter or jealous, but instead that everyone would come in and join in that joyous celebration, that party, that grace that God has given us. We can set aside our sorrows and problems, and I know there are many sorrows, problems, struggles. I'm well aware of that. But we can set that aside and choose joy in this season, the joy of Christ Jesus. We live in a troubled world, and we do need to pray about that and think about that. We need to deal with problems. But even in the midst of trouble, we can choose joy. Let's rejoice in Him. We have good reason to rejoice because we proclaim the coming of Jesus. Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." Good news of great joy. Amen? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of joy. Help us to enter into your joy, to enter into your presence with faith-filled hearts, setting aside our worries and concerns and problems long enough to remember your great love and how you've poured out your love for us in Christ Jesus, born into this world to struggle even as we struggle with the sorrows and problems of life, yet to live a perfect life without sin and to go to the cross and give his life as a substitute for ours, paying the price for our sins that we might have the free gift of eternal life, rising again from the dead to show the guarantee of that promise, alive forevermore and with us here now. Lord, help us to trust in this Savior that you have given us. Help us to love him and to draw near to him, even as he came near to us and comes near to us each day. Help us to choose joy. Lord, we do lift up the needs of each and every person. Lift up those who are in sorrow. Bring healing to those who are sick. Restore those who are down. Provide reconciliation where relationships are broken or damaged. Calm anger and bring peace to your people. Help us, Lord, that regardless of troubles, to choose joy, the joy of Christ, and to share his joy and love and grace with the people around us always. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen.